Welcome to Our Story, the podcast. Every month, Pastor Mark from Harmony Toluca Lake sits down with a guest to discuss their journey of faith from an inclusive, affirming point of view. These personal stories are part of a colorful tapestry of individual life experiences that transcend the boundaries of church by connecting us all together, collectively, through faith, hope, and love. This is Our Story.
Hey everyone, Pastor Mark here with Jace Lucas.
Hello, this is a hostile takeover of Our Story, the podcast.
Oh boy. So Our Story, what we do is we have this podcast once a month, and what we're doing is sharing about our faith journey, the stories in our lives. It's life, it's faith, and just how, you know, we move forward, and It's always interesting. So I typically will interview someone, but then Jace has decided that he wanted to turn the tables on me.
Yes.
So, all right, here we go.
Okay, let me pull out my non-existent list of questions, and we'll just know. Okay, so you always start with an easy one, right?
Okay, all right.
Right, so I thought we'd start with an easy one for you and ask you about the Pythagorean theorem.
Do I like it or not? I don't. All right, so next.
No. So, Pastor Mark, you're a pastor here at Harmony, but you haven't always been a pastor, right?
Oh, no.
So why don't you start by telling us about your journey into becoming a pastor?
Oh.
Remember, we only have...
Yes, I was going to say, wow, the short story.
No, well, why don't we talk about what you were doing in the, like, 2-3 years before you became a pastor and how you came to this place at Harmony.
Okay, well, business administrator at Hollywood United Methodist Church, was doing just fine, but I was also involved with new ministries for the California Pacific Annual Conference. I was chair of the committee, and also I enjoyed being part of that committee studying church plants and going, not even just Methodist, but all church plants.
Okay. And
I was really enamored with what Urban Village was doing up in Chicago and became friends with the pastors there, Trey and Chris. Then something happened, well, here at this campus, at it was the Toluca Lake campus.
Okay.
It's actually called the North Campus. It was going okay, but the conference wanted more than just okay. And so they had approached Rev. Kathy, totally unbeknownst to me.
Okay.
And this was in November of 2016. Mm-hmm. They wanted to shake things up. That was their phrase. We want to shake things up, and we would like Mark to be the pastor at this campus. Well, Kathy then approached me. This was before Thanksgiving, And I looked at her, and I was like, what? And I said, I'm not an ordained elder. And she said, yeah, but they want you to be the pastor at this campus. And I said, I need to pray about this. Mm-hmm. And so during Thanksgiving, the holidays, I took a week, and I prayed about it. And God just made it very clear to me, saying, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, and I had fought that call ever since I was a teenager. I had people coming up to me when I was 13 years old saying, you know, you should be a pastor, you should be a preacher. And I was like, not happening. No. Young adults, you should be, no. 30s, 40s, no. I kept saying no. I was not, it was like Jesus is knocking on that door. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know who's at that door. And I'm not answering that door. But I finally relented that Thanksgiving of 2016 because Jesus gets what Jesus wants. Mm-hmm. That's what I've always believed, and I finally felt ready to answer the door, answer the call, and I reflected on, and that week I was able to reflect on what has led me to this point, and I think part of that was getting confidence about my ability to be able to pastor a church because I'd been in ministry for so long. Mm. So I said, yeah. And then in January of 2017, we closed what was happening here at the North Campus, and I began forming a leadership team, and then we officially launched weekly worship service in September of 2017, mm-hmm. and away we went,
yeah.
and I was flying by the seat of my pants.
Yes. So let's work backwards a little bit, because I know you've had a lot of hats in your life, you know, businessman, business administrator, academia, so many things, right? But what were your passions that you were pursuing before ministry?
Oh, wow. Well, the biggest passion was acting.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Houston, Texas, and I was acting there while also working as an auditor for the state of Texas. And so I was doing a lot of stage work, and a talent agent from Los Angeles saw me in a show, a musical actually, called Chaplin, and it was scheduled to go to Broadway, and mm-hmm. I was looking forward. I was being told I was going to be part of the cast, and unfortunately it fell through the monetary aspect. But the agent was very clear and stated to me, if you move to Los Angeles, we'll represent you.
Okay.
And so I was like, huh. And I thought to myself, and I prayed about that, and I really take serious moments like this to be prayerful, to get clarity. And the message that I got was, I need to spend a week in New York, and then I need to spend a week in Los Angeles. Now, the reason why I felt that call, because I knew most of my friends that were in the business, and I was known for stage work, well, they're up in New York, mm-hmm, and they're on Broadway. Right. Some of them were in Broadway shows. There was all Broadway shows. There's a lot of connections there. And so I spent a week up in New York, but I never felt that thing. Mm-hmm. I never felt that moment saying, this is where you're supposed to be. So I was there for a week, and then I spent a week here in Los Angeles. I was at a place on Venice Beach Boardwalk, and I distinctly remember being there at the beach, and I heard God's voice saying, "This is home." Mm. And I remember, and I sort of, it's sort of like that tweak of a dog's head where you're going, "What?"
Yeah,
And I heard it again. This is home. Well, I didn't have anybody here. Mm-hmm. I had no network, no connections, no family, really. And so it was a huge risk, but I decided at that point, I was like, well, I just heard God say, this is home. And so I planned out from that point. It was a year later when I moved out here. So that's what brought me to Los Angeles, was the acting. And okay. So I love the performing arts, stage, film. I'm still connected with the creativity aspect of that. And that's what led me there. But I also have a master's in education. And so I was able to, while here in Los Angeles, because it's so hard to just be able to act full time.
Yeah.
So I was an academic dean at a business college, and I was well respected, and I really appreciated having the job. And then that led to being hired at Hollywood United Methodist Church, where I became the business administrator. And then I was hired for a 3-year stint over at First Santa Monica United Methodist Church with Reverend Patricia Ferris. But then I felt another call. Mm-hmm. Which was unusual, because typically you don't leave a job to then go back to that same job.
Right.
And so I remember again in 2003, it was in the fall, and Hollywood had gone through 3 business administrators while I was gone. Mm. They couldn't keep them. And I got approached to return, and I was, again, really prayerful about, is this what I'm supposed to do? And again, I felt God's call saying, "This, you need to come back."
Yeah.
And so I did. And I think all of those, every bit of the things that I have done led me up to that next point, to the next point, to the next point, to finally become and live into being a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you believe that God ties those things together, that that God uses these different changes and transitions in our lives to bring us to where we're supposed to be, like with you being a pastor?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is connection. If you are reflective enough and you can see that, it really is fascinating to see each of the little nuggets that tie together. Nothing is, or at least for me, I'll just answer it that way. For me, nothing is happenstance. People come into my life, and I don't know why they may come into my life, but I believe that there's a reason why they're in my life. And then it becomes unveiled.
Sure.
It may be unveiled immediately, but a lot of the times it's unveiled much later. And it's the same thing about, ultimately, why was I supposed to move to Los Angeles? Was I to move to become an actor, and that was going to be my life right there? And I believe the reason why I was supposed to be in Los Angeles was ultimately to be in ministry. It just had, I think God had to wear me down. I think God took me as I was and said, okay, Mark, I want you to go ahead. You want to follow this path, and I'll be with you.
Interesting.
But then as you're walking down that path, there's going to be another path, and are you going to walk down that path? And that's the thing where I talk to people, Jace, about, they get so concerned about choices.
Right.
And yeah, choices are hard. Making a decision, an important decision, is always difficult. But this is what I tell folks, is that be prayerful about it. Don't worry about it being the absolute right decision. I mean, of course we want to be the right decision.
Right.
But the situation is, are you bringing God into it? And once you make the decision, right or wrong, I still believe God is with you if you will just take that with you, because ultimately, I believe that God is going to direct you onto the path. If you're open to it, God will get you to the path that you're supposed to be on.
Yes.
And that's the way I feel that my journey has been through all of this, is I had to go through the ups and downs of, and there's plenty of ups and downs as an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Rejection.
Oh, yeah.
I think that actually helped me as a pastor, because pastors get rejected a lot. The thing, too, is about ministry. I had to meet Ignacio Castuera as the senior pastor, opening me to new ways of thinking theologically. I had to meet Rev Ed over at Hollywood UMC as well, who's the most gentle, reconciling individual you could ever meet, and such a healing presence. Totally different than Ignacio, but I had to learn from Ed about a different way of ministry, because Ignacio was like, and at the time it was an LA Weekly, a very progressive newspaper that was every week, and he'd literally say, "I'm going to preach with the LA Weekly and the Bible in one hand and the Bible in another."
Interesting,
right?
A choice.
But Ed, no. Ed was just much more calming, soothing, meditative kind of personality. And so is that perspective. But Ed also helped me get that perspective. And then getting to be with Patricia Ferris over at Santa Monica, and Patricia also having a whole different persona. And Santa Monica is its own different city over there on the west side.
Of course, yeah.
Right? And getting that, and then coming back to Ed, and then Rev Kathy now, and having worked with Rev Kathy, and just all of the various people, and Nicole Riley. It's one after another after another. And all those ministry trips, the ministry trips were huge changings for me. And every bit of that was meant, I think, to happen. And sometimes, Jace, and I believe this for everyone, if you open yourself up, now, it's so hard to trust people. It really is hard to trust people, because you don't know what their modus operandi might be.
Sure.
But Cedric Bridgeforth, who's a dear friend of mine, saw something in me that I did not see. And he approached me in 2007 and said, "I need you to lead the LA district to Mississippi with the Hurricane Katrina cleanup and rebuild." And I was like, "What? what are you talking about? And he says, you need to do this. Mm. Now, Cedric saw something in me, and it actually ignited something in my heart. Mm-hmm. It changed me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about if you have trusted people around you, they can actually help direct you again along the path. But I of think course. That God is working through other people to help us.
Right, yes. And God uses those people to build us up. Because I think earlier you mentioned you felt like God had to wear you down a little bit mm-hmm. into ministry. But I feel like, knowing your story and working with you very closely, I feel like God used all those experiences not to grind you down, but to build you up to where you needed to be to take on ministry. And people mm-hmm. like Cedric and all of the ministers that you mentioned, Reb Ed and Ignacio, you know, that they are part of the stone workers that helped to build you up to where you need to be, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like a jewel. I think there is a bit of a grinding. Mm-hmm. You just have to be able to say, I'm letting go.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a really important part of, I believe, of our lives, is to be able to let go. Mm-hmm. The more we want to control, that's when we actually shut off and we box ourselves in. Sure. It's sort of like trying to box God in. Because you can't box God in. No. I mean, we can try all we want. But when we do that, we're trying to control God, and it really shuts off the flow. It's like mm-hmm. shutting off the flow of blood within our body. Mm-hmm. Well, why would we do that? Because it's going to cut off life. Mm-hmm. And so I view the same thing in that way, mm-hmm. about it's so important to allow that flow and to let go so that we're trying not to be in control. And that's the whole thing that I had to just be able to do and just say, I'm letting go.
I love that. Well, let's take a hard left in our conversation.
All right, hard left. I'll
bring a little bit of information about you to the listeners. You know, you host this show every month, and I think that people want to get to know you. So have you ever played Two Truths and a Lie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So what I need you to do is think of two fun facts about yourself that you don't think people would know.
Oh, wow.
And one lie here in God's house. Mm. And I'm going to guess which one is your lie. And while you think about that, our producer Donna has agreed to sing the national anthem.
Yay! She has a great voice.
But whenever you're ready, two truths and a lie, and then I'll guess which one is the lie.
Wow.
No pressure.
I spent several days in Las Vegas with Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
Which one?
Okay.
I have been to Australia and enjoyed playing with kangaroos.
Great.
And let me think of a third one. I lived in England and taught school there. Yeah, so there you go.
Well, I know that number two is your lie.
What?
Because we've actually talked about how we both have Australia on our bucket list.
Oh,
but also, do you really think you're going to play with a kangaroo?
Well, I would love to play with a kangaroo. Little baby kangaroo,
Maybe they should not let you into Australia. So tell us about Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, so now you're interested about Whoopi, huh? Oh, well, yes. My friend Chuck was celebrating a milestone birthday. And one of his friends, Rico, is connected with Whoopi. And so off to Vegas we went, and we spent a glorious few days with Whoopi Goldberg and
That's
just
fun.
Got to hang out with her.
How
and
fun.
Oh, yeah. Whoopi and I were having some great conversations. And she's really cool, very chill, funny, and just she's someone really nice to hang out with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Your next guest on the podcast, of course.
I would love to have Whoopi on the podcast. And we had discussions about theology, we had discussions about politics.
Okay.
Oh yeah. She was game.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, when we post this episode on social media, I'm gonna tag Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, there you go.
No, I'm kidding. This episode is being released just before Easter. Happy Easter.
Yes, yes.
So
hoppity, hoppity, hoppity.
Yeah, Okay.
Well, you know, you got the bunnies. You got Easter eggs.
I love it. So do you have any memories of Easter or a favorite Easter kind of from your past?
Gosh, yes. I will always remember Easter as a kid. Now, Easter is such fun. I love Easter with Easter egg hunts.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are so much fun. And yeah, as a Christian, total meaning of Easter is so much different than it is for a child. And
of course.
And so I love Easter for its true meaning of Easter with the resurrection of Christ and just that new life that we have in Jesus and having built that relationship for true connection with God. But as a child, you know, you have your eyes open to something that's so special about hunting for eggs, and then there's the bunny rabbit, and it's just festive.
Yeah.
But I remember as a child, Jace, this is very funny, let me tell you, Easter's taken seriously. Now, Christmas is taken seriously, but oh no, when it comes to Easter worship service, everyone, when I was a kid, everyone was dressed.
Oh, yeah.
To the nines.
Oh, I remember.
You know, you'd have your little coat and you have your little tie that Christmas. But at Easter, I mean, it was like, it ramped up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a teenager, it was like, okay, what's the new style? And the new... I'm still laughing about this. So back in the day, we had things called leisure suits. And so, oh yeah, and they were bad, just bad. But... the thing that was in style, I will not forget this, on Easter, and several of us guys, is we wore patent leather shoes.
Oh
yes. Okay. Patent leather shoes that had heels. So it elevated you up like 2 or 3 inches more than your height.
Right.
But I will never forget that, and I still laugh about that memory. But yes, oh yeah. And all white.
You know what they say. Mm. The higher the heels, the closer to God. No, I'm just kidding.
Love it. I love it.
No, that's great, though. And all white heels. Okay. I like it.
Oh, yeah. And Easter. Oh, yes. And people. Oh, the white would be coming out. And back in the day. And that was one of the things, too, when I started even over at Hollywood. When I came here at Hollywood and I met this church in Easter, the women would bring out the hats.
Oh.
Yes.
I do love a hat.
Yes, those hats were colorful and just dressed to the nines.
Love it. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we started with your journey to becoming a pastor. We went back into kind of your passions, adult life. But let's talk a little bit about your childhood, where you came from. So where did you grow up?
I was a military brat. Mm-hmm. Early on, my dad was in Spain when I was born, assigned in Spain. One of the interesting things about my dad, I'll just throw this in, is that he actually was on a secret mission. He actually had different assignments that he would never share with me. He was on a nuclear war assignment.
Huh.
And
fun.
Yeah, and he was prepared to drop an atomic bomb that, if called upon.
Oh, wow.
So he was one of those team members.
Wow.
Yeah, so I found about that later in my life. But so dad was in Spain, and so my mother was on her own in Texas, but he was in the Air Force, and my dad was in the Air Force for 23 and a half years as a lieutenant colonel.
Great.
In the Air Force. Up from birth up until when I was 7 years old, I was a military brat, lived in Florida, lived in Kansas, and got to see huge snowdrifts. I mean, we're talking huge. And then went to Wichita Falls, Iowa Park in Texas, and then we ended up when I was seven in a very small rural town called Bogota, Texas. There was a family ranch of about 660 acres, 300 cattle, and my dad was taking over the ranch that my grandfather had. And it was a good deal for him because he was eligible for a great retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
went through the Air Force having served all that time. So he was getting that pay, but then also to be able to work on a ranch. So we had a house in the small community of Bogota, very nice house, and then worked the ranch. So that was pretty crazy as a youngster. We sold the ranch when I was 19. My dad had asked me, when I was 19, he asked me if I wanted to take it on. And I went, oh, no. I was like, that is not my life's path on this one. And which was great for him because he was able to sell it and he helped out the family.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So as a progressive pastor, you don't expect to hear that you grew up in Texas, per se.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that experience being in a more rural setting, a very conservative place, how did that impact kind of your beliefs growing up?
You know, Jace, it's interesting. I'd say it's complex because I was a different kind of child. I think my difference as a person was a challenge for my dad because my dad was very mechanically minded. My dad had a certain mindset. He was a manly man kind of guy. And I just wasn't into mechanics. I was more creative. I was more artistic. I was more musically oriented. And so it was just, I think it was a challenge for him. But I remember when I was 3 years old, I saw a light in my room, bright light. I don't think I've ever shared this with you, that I interpreted it to be God. And I just remember feeling that warmth. I won't go into the reason why I believe that light appeared, but I knew that there was something different happening for me. And then I was surrounded by some of the most amazing people in this rural town. I think sometimes people have the wrong thoughts about what individuals who live in a rural town versus an urban setting. There's a lot of judgment.
Right.
Where they'll look at someone from a rural town and they're going, well, you're just a bunch of hicks. Mm-hmm. And you're all of a particular mindset that you're ultra-conservative and that you... you're not welcoming, and you're this and that. And it's all sort of very negative. I will tell you, being raised in Bogota, Texas, and yeah, there was some prejudice. Not going to deny that.
Sure.
But I was surrounded by some of the most loving people who raised me and cared for me and led me on this faith journey, and I will never, ever forget them. We may disagree, or if they were alive now, we'd have a discussion. They might disagree with me on some things, but they would still love me, and they would still support me, and they would still want me to do well, and they would want this church to do well. But I think what led me along the way of more of a progressive, inclusive type of thinking was being around that and then struggling with the Bible. Because typically, well, I'll just put it this way, at least when I was raised as a child, it was looked upon a little bit more literally.
Yeah.
The pastor, it was, I remember, this is great. So I was in Boy Scouts, and I was about to get my God and Country Award.
Oh.
And there was a question that I asked the pastor. You're going to love this. And I asked the pastor because, and I'm 13-year-old. Trust me, I'm curious, and I want to know answers. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, I get this, that God did this, and God did this, and God did this. Where did God come from? And the... And the pastor looked at me and he said, that's a question you can't ask.
Oh, no. Great.
And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I knew that then there was a cutoff point. But it was more of a literalism. Mm-hmm. So when I went to college is when the shift occurred. Now, you have to understand that I have always loved people. And I have always loved people who are underdogs, as well as individuals who are not. I think that is just something I've been given, and I try to mend as many fences as possible to bring people together. But when I went to college, this was the big deal. I then became involved in theater. That's when I became involved in theater, is at college. And when I was at college, then suddenly I'm going, there's some folks around here who are a little different. And... Because in where I was from, 1,800 people in a class
right.
of 50,
right.
there's not a whole breadth of stuff that you're not exposed to. And so then I get to college, and then you're getting people from around the world, and mm-hmm. it was still a small college, Austin College, great college, liberal arts, and I'm so grateful to have been there. But it was that first year where I was like, huh, something's going on. And I, you know, it's like, oh, it's okay. And then it was the second year. It was the second year when I became involved in the theater, and my dad always blamed himself because he was like, because he had told me, because I had to take an alternative course, because I was going to be an attorney. That was the reason why I went to college.
Okay.
And he said, well, Mark, every good attorney is a great actor. And so I said, well, should I take an acting class? And he went, yep. And I was like, all right, Dad, that's what I'll do. And when I took the acting class, that's when the trouble began.
Sure.
Because the teacher saw, see, this is again that thing where I go back to when people see something in you, and the teacher saw something in me, and he said, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't know at the time, I was actually not having a good time with all these political science studies.
Yeah, you were.
And then I got cast as the lead in the show that they were doing as a sophomore.
Scandal.
And it was a scandal because it hacked off a lot of folks because it was like unknown kid, not in the theater department, and he just got the lead.
Yeah, and all these seniors were like, how dare.
Yes, the seniors were, it was not pretty.
Yeah.
But there was an embrace. It eventually became an embrace
of
the people. But then, again, it was one of those where I was like exposed to a whole breadth of life that I'd never seen before. Yeah. And that breadth included individuals in the LGBTQ community. What I just didn't know anything about.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't even know about sexuality in general. It was just like, what is this and what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I only know what the Bible I had been taught.
Yes, okay.
And I will... I'm always grateful for my path having crossed the late Owen Miller's. Owen sat down with me, and he was in a cappella choir, and he was a brilliant singer. And I just remember one evening, we were sitting on the steps of the dormitory, and he asked me, and he said, you like me? And I said, yeah. And he says, we were talking about the choir and whatnot, and he says, so I'm going to say something to you, and I hope that you don't judge me. And I said, why would I judge you? And then he said, I'm gay. And I looked at him and went, what's that? I mean, what's that? What does that mean? And then he explained, and I looked at him, and I went, oh, well, does that mean you're going to hell?
Wow.
And he looked at me, and he says, that's what the church has told me. And I looked at him, and I said, what church? And he says, all churches.
Yeah.
And it sort of, it was like this thing clicked in going, what? And it was just sort of like, I never had heard anything about the LGBTQ community with the Bible. Never even came up when I was a kid, ever. Then Owen shares this with me, and the reason why Owen was sharing this with me is because he saw how strong I was in my Christian faith.
Mm.
And he was seeing me in choir, and he was seeing me in the theater, and he thought, oh, this is someone I maybe can share something with that's a Christian that won't judge me.
Right.
And that began a trajectory, Chase, of me diving into this particular topic issue and to be able then to... Because as I told Owen, I was like, why wouldn't I love you?
Right.
Why wouldn't I care for you as a person? Why would God judge you? And I remember him bursting into tears, but I also knew I've got to look into this because this is something new.
Yeah.
And I just began a deep dive study and exploration of that whole thing.
And look how far you've come as such an inclusive person. That's so wonderful. Yeah. And a great way to remind us that we can grow beyond what we're taught, right? And pursue truth and love for other people. So we took a hard left in our conversation earlier. Now I'm going to do a U-turn.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Or if you're in a certain state, it's, what is that, like an 8-point like reverse turn. And I'd love to do a lightning round with you.
Okay.
Lightning round. All right. Have you done a lightning round before?
I go for it.
New to Our Story, the podcast, lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a question,
right,
and you'll just answer in one word, phrase,
sure,
quick
sure
turn. Okay.
Sure.
So let's do a simple one. Test. What's your name?
Mark.
Okay, great. We've got this down. So, favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite food?
Pizza.
Favorite place you've ever visited?
London.
London, yes. Favorite actor or actress?
Jimmy Stewart.
Favorite restaurant in Los Angeles?
There's so many. Spago's.
Okay, gonna have to look that one up. Favorite season?
Oh, Christmas.
Least favorite season?
Hot summer.
Agreed. Favorite animal?
Dogs.
Dogs, okay. Favorite Bible story?
Well, if I take Jesus out of the equation.
Of course, given.
Joseph,
okay. Favorite Bible verse?
Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 3.
Okay, well, I'll have to look that one up. I don't even know that one, so we're going to look it up after this. And now, if you could have any job that you've never had, because you've had like 18, if you could have any job you've never had, what job would it be?
Professional baseball player.
I thought that's where we were going with this, and
yeah,
then you...
Yeah, thank you for giving me the hint there.
Yes.
No, it's good, yeah.
Favorite movie?
It's a toss-up. Can I give two?
Okay.
Or three? I'll give you three. The Godfather, Jaws, The Exorcist.
Okay, favorite book that's not the Bible?
That one's tough. I'm just going to throw out To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Okay, that's a good one. So, favorite day of Holy Week, which we're currently in?
Wow. If it's not Easter, I find great meaning behind Maundy Thursday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, as we come to a conclusion of our podcast and our lightning round's done, we are going into Maundy Thursday. That's just a day away. And Easter's coming up. So as we kind of end this season of Lent and reflect on this season of celebrating the resurrection, what message of faith would you like for the listeners to hear?
I think the biggest message, Jace, is that Jesus was willing to die for us. But it's not just die for us, is he laid his entire life out in ministry to be with us from beginning of birth all the way up through death. And it's not just any death. He had the most excruciating of deaths. But also, I look at that and go from the birth of Jesus in a manger, marginalized, outcast, and it's relatable. And I think that whole thing is relatable if we open ourselves up to it, always from beginning up to that point of his death and his resurrection. And then he leaves us in that moment, but doesn't leave us.
Mm.
He leaves the disciples to then go forward to bring out the message of the good news and the gospel, to say that Jesus is alive, and it's not just alive metaphorically, it's alive in our hearts and in our lives. And the question is how are we going to bring that message forward?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me and for the listening audience, I feel that light of Christ is so important to shine in our lives. The resurrection just has such significance, but it's also meaningful to say that all of us, every one of us, is a beloved child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key message that Jesus was wanting to get across to us. And even the persons that are crucifying Jesus, the people who were against him, he was still saying to them, you're a beloved child of God, and you are loved. And I hope that's the thing that we can all move forward with, is to realize that love is so expansive and so beautiful that we live it out fully.
Mm.
Because Jesus didn't give up on anyone.
Yeah.
And I believe Jesus doesn't give up on anyone, so why would we?
Yeah. Amen. That's great. That's such a great message for us to end on. So thank you for sharing some of your story with us today.
Oh, thank you for turning the tables on me.
Oh, what does Michael Scott say? Oh, how the turntables? No, but this was a really great conversation. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for sharing with us. And thank you to the listeners for joining us today. We hope that you'll join us again next month.
Yes, next month. As well as I want to say special thanks to Donna Miller.
Yes.
As she does a phenomenal job with the production of this, as well as you. You know, we got the social media covered. So we look forward to our next Our Story conversation, which will be happening in a month's time. But in the meantime, we want you to have a great Easter, happy Easter, and Jace, same with you.
Happy Easter to you.
All right, happy Easter, and hoppity hoppity, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Our Story, the podcast, with this month's special guest host, Jace Lucas. This month's guest was Pastor Mark Stevenson, and this episode was recorded and mixed by me, Donna Miller, with production support by Jace Lucas. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Our Story, the podcast, so you never miss a new episode. You're listening to the Harmony Podcast Network, sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church. Find us on Instagram at Harmony_TLC and on Facebook at HarmonyTL. We'll see you next month for a conversation with Ruth Williamson. As Pastor Mark likes to say, peace.